Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we are back. And folks, nearly 530,000 migrants came to U.S. legally, paroled. They were paroled into the U.S. under the Biden program CBP, folks. They emptied out their prisons. They emptied out. They've taken the worst of the worst, drug dealers, rapists, murderers, and they brought them here. Why? That's what the Democratic Communist Party is made up of anymore, folks. It's pedophilia has gone rampant. I mean, it's absolutely rampant within the collective. And so it's just there's no sin that's too wicked anymore for them. They're, you know, when they promote as their killing children, when they give free abortions at their, when they've had their, well, convention, and they promote killing children. This is what this party has become. It's evil, completely and totally evil, folks. And so, go ahead and take it away.
Is extremely upset tonight over what he says is a secret Biden administration program to bring illegal immigrants into his state. Correspondent Matt Finn is in El Paso, Texas tonight to tell us about where those migrants are coming from and where they may be going. Good evening, Matt.
Brett, the El Paso sector is frequently the country's busiest for illegal migrant apprehensions. Over the past couple of days, we have talked to migrants inside the international airport here who tell us they have plans to fly to all different states. And at the same time, we now know that migrants are being flown into the United States.
First of all, it's an illegal program. They're bringing people in who don't have a right to be in this country.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis today demanding the Biden administration end its CHNB parole program. CHNB stands for Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. The program lets migrants from those countries bypass the traditional immigration process and get temporary entry into the U.S. Official CBP numbers show that overall in fiscal year 2023, 184,000 migrants from those countries flew into Miami alone, a dramatic increase from just 1,500 migrants in fiscal year 2022. Thousands more reportedly flew into other states like Texas and California. DeSantis says the Biden administration quietly brings in the migrants, making it nearly impossible to track them.
If they throw six people on a commercial flight coming from a foreign country, there's no acknowledgement at all.
In a statement to Fox News today, the White House denies DeSantis' claim of secrecy, writing, "This is a lawful process that cuts out smugglers seeking to take advantage of vulnerable individuals considering migrating, and that has successfully decreased irregular migration from these countries. To say this program is a secret is laughably false." The program's public website details that applicants face a list of background checks. They must have a U.S. citizen sponsor them who is willing to pay their expenses, including the cost of an airline ticket. Paroled migrants can apply to work here. And after 2 years, the Biden administration says there's a full range of existing lawful immigration pathways.
Florida is fighting this program in court right now, and a group of House Republicans have signed a letter demanding President Biden terminate it. Brett.
Matt Finn.
All right. Norma in Illinois pledges 100. Thank you, Norma. And Grant in Illinois pledges 300. Thank you, Grant. Folks, listen, boy, that it's good that it's coming from Illinois. It really is good. We hope we see more. We've had from Texas tonight and Illinois, but we haven't, to my knowledge, seen one from the San Diego area. Listen, you folks out in San Diego, help us out. We're trying hard. We're trying. We're really doing everything we can to stay on the air there. And the bottom line is, you know, one of the problems we have, and I know I'm not supposed to say this, but airtime just costs too much. It costs too much. It should, you know, I mean, people, with all of this, you know, the prices of everything today is going up. It's way too high. You know, somebody's got to take a break and just say, you know, we've got to get away from this high inflation. So, anyhow, saying that.
Well, if we listen to Kamala Harris and her plans for her taxation and spending, we will never see the end of inflation. In fact, it will overwhelm and destroy the economy. But, you know, nothing to worry about, folks. Just your economy, your livelihood, and your future. Nothing important.
And your savings accounts drained?
Well, not only that, but the military has made a... They're saying that if Kamala gets in, they're gone. The military, what Joe Obama has got, he wounded them. They're bleeding, cutting, bleeding, but, Kamala will finish them off. And so with that, listen, speaking about taxes and property taxes, take it away, Charlie Johnston.
Okay. Back a couple of months ago, I did my appeal for my property tax in Ashtabula County. Our county auditor, David Thomas, he says, if you could sell your house in January of 2023, can you get $350,000 for it? I said, first of all, David, I don't have an appraisal on it. The house hasn't been sold since 2017, and I'm not putting the house on the market to sell, so I don't have a current appraisal on it. So what you're saying is a hypothetical, okay? What you're trying to do is tax me on unrealized gain. Well, you can't do that. There's laws against that in the state of Ohio and the United States.
Yeah, but they don't know that here in Ohio, I'm telling you.
Well, here's the caveat to that. He ended up denying me on my reductions on the property tax because I proved to him on numerous residents in the county where the owner occupancy credit, you have to apply for this. It's a 2.5 reduction factor. Okay. On my piece of property, ever since I moved in, I never got the full 2.5. It was 2.1. So they've been skimming off 0.4%. That is the state doing this, okay? So
you're not supposed to know that.
And here's the other little secret. Sorry, folks down in Roaming Shores, Rock Creek, you're only getting 1.8. So you've been getting ripped off as well. So it's not just in Ashtabula County. It's statewide. So since they denied me, I decided to take up the issue with the state because they said, well, you can appeal it and go before the judge here in Ashtabula. I says, no, because the problem is the judges in Ashtabula County, they don't know tax law. So with that being said, I appealed to Columbus. Well, I finally got a date for a hearing last month. I show up down there. I'm supposed to go before a full panel hearing, and I only got to go against and talk to a gentleman by the Cody R. T. Ford. And the meeting started at 9:03 a.m. And basically what he did was take my testimony, and I read it off stating to dismiss everything that Ashtabula County submitted as case law that they used to prevent me of fighting this case. The reason why they submitted was stuff was back in 1960s, 1970s, and 1990s. The problem with that is that was back when we used to use county assessed value. Okay. Well, we're not doing county assessed value anymore. We're doing fair market price. So that law does not exist. Okay. So with that being said, I told him, I says, look, you guys are committing fraud right here. And y'all are supposed to cap on this reevaluation at 35%. Mine was at 37.5, so you're ripping me off another 2.5%. So who do I got to sue, the county or the state? And the guy, he says, well, you need to get a real estate taxation lawyer. I says, sir, I hate to disappoint you, but in Northeast Ohio, you're not going to find one. And the only place you're going to find them is working in this office because they don't work out there in the private sector. And that's the other biggest problem I have with Columbus is – they sat there and they denied me on this case law information that the county submitted. And the problem with it is you're supposed to have 30 days to review what they submit to the state. I had 2 days. I got it that Friday before I went down for my hearing on Monday morning. So I wasn't given due process to go through their stuff to counteract it. Plus, I didn't have access to the law library in the county because it's over the weekend and they are closed. So is the state being fair? No. And this is the other thing I told them. I said, y'all need to get this House Bill 254 passed down here in Columbus for disabled veterans at 100% rating so they don't have to pay property tax. There are 17 other states that welcomes veterans hand over fist. The problem with Ohio, out of 50 states and the three territories, Ohio is ranked number 50 on taking care of veterans. That's a disgrace. My viewpoint to all disabled veterans that are 100% rating, sell your property now, move to Pennsylvania. It doesn't matter if it's 1 acre or 1,000 acres. You don't have to pay zero tax. And once that piece of property is paid off, you actually own land, which you will never get here in Ohio.
You know, that thing about 30 days, you're supposed to have 30 days, but you only get 2 days. Like we were talking about it earlier. That's a very common thing that we have to figure out how to address as citizens, where the legislator is playing games with how much time you actually get to go through some of these, you know, legal issues. So in the instance of like Thomas Massie, who's talking about it on a more federal level, he was saying that they would hand you a 2,000-page bill and then give you a few, like, hey, you got to get through this 2,000-page bill in 2 days.
Well, yeah, well, that's crafted up to do that. I mean, that's done on purpose, so you can't get through it. That's how they manipulate. And, like, most people don't really
have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. Come on, guys, don't you know that?
Yeah. Well, I live in Summit County. I didn't get my notice until after it had already been raised. My taxes had already been raised. I got it the month after. I could no longer appeal because of it.
Well, what you do is, in January, you have until March 31st next year to file a claim against. You could go back a year, it's no problem. Next year, you go before your auditor down there in Akron in Summit County, and you tell them, look at your 2.5 reduction factor for owner occupancy credit. If you haven't filed for it, go in there tomorrow and sign up for it. And the problem I hate with the state of Ohio is that in Texas, if you are a senior citizen at 65, your taxes are frozen. They don't do that here. The other thing they do here is for the senior citizens, they're putting them out on the street, basically, because I have people calling me up all the time from
in
Roman
Springfield,
Shores.
Ohio. What they're doing there with these property owners, these guys that are owning these big apartment buildings, they're throwing the people out and they're putting in Haitians.
Right. And the people in Roaming Shores, I had a lady call me up crying. Says, Charles, I'm on a fixed income on Social Security. They raised my property value up to over $450,000. And my taxes are $9,864. I can't pay this. I only make $1,200 a month. What am I supposed to live on? I says, they are literally forcing you out of your home.
Yeah, they're doing that on purpose.
And the other thing the state of Ohio needs to do as well, and I hope you state representatives and state senators are listening tonight, because you need to get off your duffs, get in there to work, and take care of our senior citizens and our veterans. Because the problem is on the homestead exemption, okay? Only way you can get a homestead exemption is if you're disabled or a senior citizen that makes under $36,000. That cap needs to be raised up to over, right, technically it shouldn't be any amount of money that you make. Because in Texas, everybody gets a homestead reduction. Everybody. So state of Ohio, you're behind the times. If you want to be a red state, it's time for you guys to ante up and get with the program.
Well, it's they do it because we've allowed it. And that's why. I'm seeing more and more and more citizens groups are getting really fed up. They're really getting tired of it. And they should have. All right, Joyce in New Jersey pledges 50, and Dionisio in New York pledges 10. Thank you. All right, folks, 888-281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. How a Kamala Harris presidency would affect the U.S. military. The outcome of November's presidential election will affect the U.S. military in the profoundest ways possible. The beliefs, the values, the practices, the potential deployment of American armed forces under the leadership of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance versus Kamala Harris and Tim Walz could not be more different. As Army Lieutenant Colonel Darren Gaub, who for a decade commanded thousands of soldiers, told World News Daily, throughout the Biden presidency, I begin hearing for the first time in my life that people are telling their children to do something else rather than join the military. And I can't blame them. I've had a number of people, and I would not tell my son or daughter today to join the military for sure. A Gob, a former UH-60 Black Hawk pilot, co-founder of the nonprofit Restore Liberty, explained simply, many of today's military leaders are inadequate, and in the military, everything ultimately comes down to leadership. We know who's responsible for that, and that goes back to Obama, the purging that Obama did. As far as November's presidential election, Gob stated, they started with the obvious, Harris and Walz's uninterrupted embrace of the Biden-Harris regime's profound leftist ideology would continue to significantly affect the morale of those who serve in the country. You know, she came out the other day and said, right now we have no American military serving in any combat zone. And yet...
Wrong. She's wrong.
Right. And there's a clip. In fact, we have a clip. The problem of it is, you know, you can't see video over the radio, but these guys have shown all of these military in different combat zones saying, where are we then? Okay, where are we here? Okay, this woman, just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But they would, for example, he told World News Daily service members would be forced to endure at least another 4 years of diversity, equity, and inclusion, deciding who gets promoted based on everything but merit. And that in turn would result in families across the nation continuing to dissuade their children from joining the military in the first place. Gob warns that only those who comply with the agenda that has nothing to do with our military war fighting capacity will be promoted. That's exactly what Obama did. Remember what Obama said? He wanted to weaken the military, and he wanted to have a civilian army, right? Brought in, that he put together, like the brown shirts that Hitler had, and that's what he has today. They're called Antifa.
I can add to that, Pastor Sanders. Back in 2009, when I was in the combat zone in Baghdad, Iraq, the Congress up here could not pass a budget. And when that happened, soldiers weren't getting paid back home, and they were forcing our families out of their apartments and stuff like that. That was detrimental to our mission over there in Iraq, because we're worried about our families being displaced because the government couldn't pass a budget. And that was under Obama's watch. And here's the other thing about Tim Walz. The way I look at it, he's a turncoat. Number two, somebody in the federal government needs to go have him arrested immediately for stolen valor. That serves a sentence up to 6 months in prison. Somebody needs to go in there, lock him up now, and throw away the key.
Not to mention all of the gender-affirming care for minors and things like that. I just I don't know where we're getting off with this sort of rhetoric or even legislation where we want to codify these things that make no sense. It's just, at what point are we going to start fighting back?
So apparently you don't believe that young men your age have menstrual periods.
Nah.
Well, apparently they do that in Minnesota. He does. Tampons
him, right?
Not only that, I mean, this guy is so evil that babies that were aborted and survived, he wanted to, he just says, put them out there and let us watch them die. This man is evil, evil to the core, and just like Kamala.
Yeah, you know, the abortion thing is a big deal for me. I'm extremely pro-life, and actually one of the things that we're doing on the campus is actually fighting to bring the daycare back, because I'm a very big culture of life person, and so I think that we need supports for, you know, student parents and things like that. You can't really be pro-life if you're not providing support for women. So that's just one thing that's very near and dear to my heart. I can never vote for a Democrat.
And being a 25-year veteran myself, after being all over the world with the government and everything else, this just appalls me what they dismantled the military and everything else. This is not the country I recognize anymore. It's not what I fought for.
For 8 years when Obama was in, Joe, every single day, didn't we? Every day we said, do you see what he did today?
Look what he's doing now. And,
he purged 11 four-star generals that were real military men. He purged over 250
Christian conservatives.
Right.
All
flag bait, yeah. And so it just, you know, everyone that was good and decent, Obama purged them and replaced them with the most vile, the worst people, the bootlickers that he could find. People like Milley, people, you know, like who Biden has in there now, Austin.
Yeah.
And, you know, where they have drag queens at USO shows. Unbelievable.
No, just at military bases, Pastor. I've got a stack of articles that it would take me a week to go through about what's happening in the military. The worst is a recent one by James Phelps for World News Daily. Keep your head down and mouth shut. U.S. Army totally infected with spirit of Antichrist under Biden-Harris. And this guy's a career Army officer, high rank, but he's using a pseudonym, Justin Williamson. And he's talking about basically they're totally anti-Christian. Everything in there, you can get in trouble if a sodomite or somebody hears you say anything about your faith. That can be considered sexual harassment violation. If a soldier expresses traditional biblical morality publicly, they are now in violation of Army policy and against Army values. For such a violation, they get a poor evaluation. They get reprimanded. And he said you end up being considered a bad character, which is a death blow to your career. Basically, you're pushed out. No promotions. Christians aren't getting promoted, aren't getting certain jobs. And he goes on and on and on. And he talks about how they're spending more time working on ideology or anything else, but training, how to fight, readiness.
All right. Dan in California pledges 60. Good. We needed people from California. We need people from California. John in Illinois. Good. We have another one from Illinois coming up. Roger in Texas. Good. There you go. The three right in a row. $100. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Remember remember during the Obama regime, John McTurner and I had an ongoing battle with the War College. Remember, they came out and they said that Christians, they quoted scripture out of Zechariah chapter 14 and Revelation 19, saying that Christians should not serve in the military because Christians are loyal to Jesus Christ and not the armies of the world. And I mean, they actually...
Exactly.
And so, we went after him.
He ends the article with, what's happening in the Army amounts to a steady purge of Christian conservatives from America's military ranks. It is happening today. They're getting rid of all the Christians. They're trying. That's the thing, is they don't even want them in the first place. The ones that they find, they are trying hard to get them out or keep them from getting an increase in rank, certain jobs, anything. So they're leaving the military, and that is on purpose.
Well, the funny thing was when I was in Iraq, my interpreter that I had, I talked to him in my guard shack and all that, and he actually converted over to Christianity, and he was a devout Muslim. So that's one soul
good for
saved.
You, but if they found out, they probably wouldn't have been happy with you, right?
Well, they never were happy with me because I towed the line and I did what I had to do my job.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with detainees that we had over 6,000 detainees at our compound at Camp Cropper, Iraq. We had some of the worst people in the world there.
Now they're all in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, they're all over here now.
They're over here. You know, well, on top of that, did you hear what John Kirby, you know, the national security spokesman, you know, he said last Wednesday, there's no use responding to a handful of vets involved in the Afghanistan withdrawal debacle. His statement you know, no use responding to just a handful of us vets complaining about the withdrawal being a debacle. It's just like, we don't matter. That was, to me, callous, disrespectful to anybody that's ever worn a uniform in this country, anybody that's still serving. Somebody ought to take him out and tar and feather him for that remark.
Well, the commander that's over to Youth Safety Forces over there, he needs to be tried for dereliction of duty, because what they were supposed to do before they pulled out of there at all. First of all, you don't pull out in the spring or summer. When you pull out of that part of the world, you got to do it in the dead of winter, because they're not coming out.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. That was number one problem.
Number one.
Number two, what they should have done was destroyed every piece of equipment they left behind. Put an incendiary grenade in there, let it all go.
They could have brought, they had that big Air Force base, Bagram. They could have sent a lot of that stuff back home.
Well, the problem is it cost too much money, but they wanted to give it to China.
Well, yeah, that Biden gets his cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the way it works. So the $85 billion worth of material. And, you know, so even if you just get 2% of that or 1%, think of how much money that is. But, you know, the Biden's
I'll take
probably
1% of $80 million. I'll take it in a heartbeat.
Well, big. Remember what Hunter said, that the big guy gets 10%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so right off the bat.
Well, here's another thing. Why don't we go back over to Iraq, start our own steel mill, and just go out there and start getting all those blown up tanks that we blew up in Desert Storm? We can make a heck of a lot of money off of that, off of scrap.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, see, now, that's the kind of thing that Western civilization would see to do, but that's the kind of thing in Islam. They never see things like that. They are more involved with war and pushing their religion and conquering other nations and looking at, here's a way to give jobs to their people. They could clean up all these old, like you said, all this old machinery, tanks, trucks, all this, turn it into a useful product that could be sold to the world, better their country. These people don't see things like that. Look, when they gave autonomy to the Gaza Strip back in 2005, they had some of the most beautiful beaches in the Mediterranean. Here's a way you could have made a fortune for that little Gaza Strip by the hotels and the beach and bringing in tourism, all kinds of things that could have been done. No, they spent all that money digging 500 miles of tunnels so they could, what? Kill Jews. I mean, you know, nobody, just, you got to be blunt about what's going on, and that's the trouble. Nobody wants to be blunt and tell the truth.
888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. I haven't seen the phone's lighting up here. We got to hear from you, folks. We really got to hear from you. When I'm telling you this, remember the station out there in Denver? We told the folks out in Denver the same thing. We have to hear from you. Well, you know, after we went off that station, we got letters from people saying, is it too late to get you back on? Well, yeah, for then. I mean, but we can still... if we had enough support coming out of Denver, we could go back to Denver. We would do that, okay? But, folks, again, airtime is expensive, too expensive by anyhow. But we need to hear from you, because we're coming up to a time. Listen, anything can happen now. Think to yourself, how many radio programs do you know of that will bring you the truth without any compromise, who will not be afraid? We are fearless. We're not, when it comes to, you know, we fear God only, and we're not going to back down like so many do. We're not, much of what we've been bringing you, you won't find in Fox News or anybody else will bring it, very few. Because,
well, and also, Pastor Ernie, we're kind of very unusual in this country in the fact that you in all the 50 years, almost going on 51, have never taken a salary for the radio work. You donate all your time to the ministry. Now, every one of us that's ever worked with you or is working now, no one has ever taken any money. We all donate our own time, our own talent, and even our own treasure for the military. So when we ask the listeners out there to donate, It's to help pay the bills, because we certainly aren't doing this to get rich. We're not doing this we're not getting anything out of this ourselves. We're not out promoting ourselves on a speaker circuit, getting paid. All that we're doing is working for the Lord, doing what he's called us to
do. We're doing it for God and country and family. Yeah. Right,
and
right,
that
Joe?
Makes us very different from any other radio program that I'm aware of.
We'll be back after this.
He made the ground, the mountains high, and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Some men are like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. A man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
All righty, we're back. Our mighty men are waiting back there. They're sitting and waiting to take your call. We have approximately 26 minutes left for where you can call, folks. This is day two. We're not doing nearly as well as we did yesterday. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. You know what? I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I do it every month. Go ahead and put me down for $1,000. Put me down for $1,000. And I'd like to see if I can get some matches. Can I get some matches for $1,000? I need a few matches for $1,000.
Come on, people in Texas. I'm a native Texan, so it's time for you guys to cowboy up and ante up and help us out up here. We need it.
Boy, we do. Okay. Right now, California, you're the one that's really the farthest behind. We got to hear from more people from California out there. I know there's some really good people out there in California. Where are you tonight? And, you know, it's you know, every now and then we'll get a letter and from somebody that'll say, you know, I've been listening to you for years and years, and I'm ashamed to say I've never donated. This is my first donation, and they'll get a donation. Maybe it'll be $50, you know. But folks, listen. You know, you got to do your part. We have to do our part here. We don't get paid for doing this. We're doing it because America is bleeding. She's our nation. Folks, you heard what God's Word, the Bible, has to say all those nations that forget their God will be turned into hell. We believe, we really understand, we believe the Word of God. We really, really, truly do believe the Word of God. And that's why we're fighting with everything we have. So can we get someone to match my 1,000? Can I get a few people to match my 1,000? John in Illinois pledges 100. So very good. Thank you. Illinois is coming across. It's coming through tonight. That is great. We need that. Okay. And it looks like we have Pastor Hal calling. And Pastor Hal, you're in the air.
Yeah, how you doing? I was going to donate another $100. I did $200 yesterday and another $100 today.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Just hang in there with us tonight then. So there you go. Pastor Hal donates $100. Folks, so, who can match?
There's a story I'd like to get in tonight.
Go ahead. Hurry up.
There was a new poll out there. And actually, it was the lady, The View's co-host, Sunny Hostin, highlighted this poll. The poll showed 10% of Americans polled supported violence against Trump. She came out and was talking about this, and she said it was totally despicable, and this was after the second attempt on his life. She said, I am so saddened and disturbed by the fact that the political violence is so normalized in this country. If you think about it, 10% of the people surveyed, the adults, think it's okay, suggesting that means tens of millions of Americans would support that kind of conduct. The poll was released by the University of Chicago via the Chicago Project on Security and Threats, found 26 million Americans believe the use of force is justified to keep Trump from regaining presidency. Out of that 26 million, they said 9 million have guns and 22 million have access to internet organizational tools. I'm reading through this, and it was there's more, but that you got the drift. And what it's been is the left has been using, you know, Trump is Hitler, Trump is going to destroy democracy, Trump, you know. They've been lying.
Biden says it's time to put a bullseye on Trump.
They are. They believe they've made it where he cannot become president if somebody has to kill him. I've got some quotes from a couple of people that said they need to shoot him, they need to kill him, anything in order to keep him from being president. We have never seen anything like this.
Well, you had that one actor.
Communist revolutions.
Joe, you had that one actor. What's his name? That said, when was the last time we had a president assassinated? Was it since Lincoln or whatever? What is his name? I can't remember his name. That would probably drive him crazy that somebody couldn't remember his name, too.
Senior moment.
Yeah.
But, we have too many facts in there. And there are a couple other articles kind of came out and said people, when they were a group of people were in a bar at a steakhouse and they heard about the assassination attempt. And somebody said, well, are you surprised? Guy was a retired Teamster. And he says, you know, it seems the bartender, quote, it almost seems normal now. And they all said, okay, and went back to watching the Chiefs against the Bengals. Yeah. His assassination, all they did is take maybe a minute out of watching a football game to comment and go, huh, are you surprised? No, not at all. It's normal. Went back to watching the game.
Well, you've got that blonde-headed comedian, the real skinny one. Remember she was holding, pardon?
Chelsea Handler?
Yeah. I don't know what her name was, but she's holding Trump's head. She had a...
Severed off.
A severed Trump head. She had that.
Oh, yeah.
You had, what is her name? The other one, Madonna or whatever her name was, the one that said...
it's Kathy Griffin that held the head, right?
Yeah, it was that Kathy Griffin? Right, okay, yeah. And then you had... The other one said she wanted to blow up the White House. She wanted with Trump in it. And she wanted to blow up... You know,
they didn't say a thing. They just said, oh, you shouldn't talk that way. Yeah, I want to blow up the White House. Yeah,
yeah. The left has really framed Trump to be a certain sort of authoritarian, fascist, dictator, as worse as Hitler, and all of these crazy things that they say. And in my experience from like what I've observed, people really believe that. And I think that the sort of tensions here in America is this sort of fight between good and evil, where the narrative, this sort of narrative, is being shaped as a noble cause. And until we can fight that narrative, we're gonna have an uphill battle. We're gonna have an uphill battle anyways. But I don't think that people really understand the brevity of what it is that they're asking for. These college kids, they don't care about the gender issues or, you know, saving lives from abortion and things like that. They just don't like Trump. And so I wonder what we could do about that.
Because they've been told that they've been taught to hate him. If you go back, this is a communist technique. They took over when they the Cuban Revolution. They used this same technique to demonize when the revolution started, when Castro and Che Guevara went in. And you see these college kids. In fact, that's something I wanted to ask you, Taji. You see all these young people wearing these Che Guevara T-shirts. Do they have any idea who this man was?
Was a beast. He was an animal.
They have no idea. And so the thing is, Thomas Sowell wrote in Vision of the Anointed. He wrote about this sort of prevailing narratives that reshape society for better or for worse, but usually for worse, where these sort of ideas kind of spread through intellectualism with no checking. And so that's where we as conservatives, especially young conservatives, have to fight back. It's a war that has to be fought on many fronts. It has to be fought biblically, intellectually, academic, like in the academic sense, but also culturally as well. I think there's legislatively.
Historically, like in some real facts and real history,
yeah.
Like this guy used to sit in his office and watch the Che Guevara, the executions,
yeah.
And he would go down himself, pull out his own weapon, and do some of the executions himself and go back to his office and go to work during the revolution.
Yeah, but I have to be a little bit critical of the Republican Party here, specifically Trump, just a tad bit, because, you know, this is sort of an issue with populist rhetoric that's not, you know, backed by any principle, where it's really easy to frame somebody who is not necessarily nailing the issues that people care about in a way that we can understand. So we're deep into this. We're here discussing politics at a very high level. But for the common person, you know, they just hear the rhetoric on either side because, you know, the Democrats do it even more. But that's sort of their thing. The Republican Party, you know, when you look at Reagan and people like that, he really did speak to people like adults. And so I think that's sort of the answer, is to make sure that we are actually addressing policy and systemic change rather than just kind of taking a bumper sticker talking point and running it to the
All right, we have Crystal in California. 300 pledges 300. Thank you, Crystal. Good. California is starting to come through. We need to hear more from California. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. One of the things that people need to realize, first of all, this fellow, this Rother, this last attempted assassin, this guy had inside information. He knew there was someone on the inside tipping him off. He knew where Trump was going to be. And so here's the other thing, too. Both him and the guy before him, both were seen in commercials in place that for BlackRock.
Right.
BlackRock did that, so they're tied together. Okay, this is not just happening. Now we'll find out if this one is a Manchurian candidate too, because if he is a Manchurian candidate, he won't last long. They'll find a way to get rid of him. He'll get killed in prison, or he'll go the way of Epstein or one of the others, because they can't afford to leave him around to talk.
Right, but just think of this. Both of these people, if you look at them, you look at their background, everybody said they were weird, scary, and all kinds of bad things. These are two of the most unlikely people I would pick for a TV commercial. Come on, you know, BlackRock is picking these guys to do a commercial, and the fact that they both, you know, You know what the mathematical odds of the two guys being featured in their commercial?
That's why that's
both going to try and assassinate the president.
That's why it shouts, Joe. Okay,
screams,
Manchurian candidate. Okay,
yeah.
And so,
hey Ernie, here's something that's kind of interesting since we have listeners down in Dallas. Okay, Dallas, you have a representative, Jasmine Crockett. She covers south part of Dallas, a little bit of Tarrant County. I know all this area well because I grew up in Alvarado, and I also lived over in Siegelville as well, which is South Dallas. Hours before the second assassination attempt against Donald Trump in a matter of months, Texas Democrat Jasmine Crockett suggested that Donald Trump and the MAGA movement represent a domestic terror threat. With her making that statement, she's jeopardizing. She's saying everybody that's a Republican that supports Trump, we are a domestic terrorist. So, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, she needs to be voted out of office. You guys step up and get somebody in her district to run against her and put her out. And I even tell my brother over there in Fort Worth, since he's a chairperson for his precinct, to get the word out and see if we could get some people over there in her district and get her run out of the state.
Exactly. You know, it's like all these people calling Trump Hitler, 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 Hitler. There were several assassination attempts on Hitler's life, and everybody, oh, they didn't make it. Oh, they didn't get it. Oh, they didn't get him. And when you keep calling this man Hitler, you're telling the people out there, well, if you're a good person, you want to stop Hitler because he's going to look at what the bad things he's going to do. Look at the, you know, what he'll accomplish if he gets in. So we've got to go back. Words have meanings. And the enemy, way back, the Fabian socialists said words were going to be the weapon of this new warfare to bring socialism to America to change it. They would start by changing and shifting words and meanings. And we've got to remember, words can be a weapon of warfare. The enemy has told us that.
And you know what else, too? Is
we don't talk about it.
The hypocrisy of the Democrats, where they're saying that Trump is like Hitler. But you need more government to be Hitler. You need more government. You need more centralized control. You need to take guns and things like that to be Hitler. So to classify any Republican, really, as a sort of fascist leader, a sort of Hitler, I think maybe they should just look in the mirror, you know?
Well, here's the thing that people don't understand. You know, reason why China and Japan never really got into the mainland of the United States is because they know behind every blade of grass there is a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, United States is pretty well weaponized. And this is one of the things I told people.
Know how to use them.
I told people, I says, you know, you keep jacking with us veterans, then if we move out of your state, you just lost your second line of defense behind your police department. So, you know, keep it up and see what happens.
Well, you know, we're living in a time where, again, they're pushing. They actually would like to have a civil war. If they could get that, that's what they're going to be pushing for.
Well, they think they want one. I don't think a lot of them have never been in combat, never been in war. I don't think they really know what they're talking about.
Folks, we have approximately 5 minutes. Well, we have 12 minutes left, but Joe or Hal, you've got about 4 minutes to give an invitation. Can you do it?
4 minutes is going to be tough, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
Well, first of all, things are going to get worse as far as the Bible is concerned, you know, right up until the tribulation period when the Antichrist comes and takes over. But the only way to escape the cesspool that we're in now and getting worse is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, because he's going to come back and take us out of here. The Bible calls it the rapture of the church, or the catching away. And if you want to go to heaven instead of go to hell, the Bible says there's only one way to do it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means, you know, when Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to transfer your guilt and your sin upon his son Jesus. So that when Jesus died on the cross and said, it is finished, that meant all the work necessary for your redemption has been accomplished. But now whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. You can try to get there your own way, but church membership, good works, and all that other stuff won't wash away one sin. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's when Jesus shed his blood on that cross, It's his blood that washes away our sins. When we repent of our sins and come to him and receive him as our Savior. And repentance is admitting something to God he knows already anyway, that without Jesus in our heart, we're lost and on our road to hell. And now, if you want Jesus to come into your heart and trust him as your Savior, that's what the Bible says is the only way to get to heaven, then you can do it right now. First of all, it's a free gift, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, you got to receive that payment. To them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Right now you're a creation of God, but to go to heaven you have to become a son of God, and that happens by spiritual birth into the family of God. And how do you receive Jesus? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The call means to pray. God's knocking at the door of your heart right now, Revelation 3:20, but he's allowing you to open up that door and let him come in and be saved or die lost and go to hell. The choice is yours. That's why it's called a gift. It's not something he forces on you. If you want to receive the payment Jesus paid for you on the cross, he hears me talking to you right now. He knows what's going through your mind and through your heart right now, and he's knocking at the door of your heart right now. If you open up that door, pray this prayer with me and mean it with all your heart. Dear God, I confess unto you that I've sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. I need your forgiveness. I need your pardon. And Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross to pay the payment in my place in full for all my sins and to redeem me from hell. And I here and now, right now, Lord Jesus, ask you to come into my heart and give to me that payment you paid for me on that cross. Now, folks, if you just prayed that and meant it, God says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. When he said believe on, that meant that you receive, not just the head knowledge, that you receive the payment he paid
on
the cross. That you may know, not just think it, wish it, or wonder about it, but that you may know, that's 100% certain. What may you know? That you have, that's present tense verb, have eternal life. That's heaven. So according to God's promise in your prayer, if you died right now tonight and you meant that prayer, then God says you have heaven right now. You've got eternal life inside of you right now, and nobody or anything can ever take that away from you. Now God wants you to grow in Christ. You grow by reading that King James Bible every day. That's God's perfectly preserved words. Pray every day. Talk to God. Ask God every day to cleanse you of any sins that come between you and him. That's just walking in good fellowship with God. When you got saved, saved from hell, you asked Jesus to come into your heart. That created a relationship that's permanent. But within that relationship, you want to have a good fellowship. And that means repenting every day of any sins that come between you and him. And doing his will. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right. We're at that time that we come to every night. I want to thank all you folks out there for being here. We're going to be here for about another 7 minutes. We really need to hear from you. It's very important. It's urgent. Until then, we want to say to all of you, good night. Say good night.
Good night. Good night.
God bless you all.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always. You ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.